In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. I'm about to run to keep rolling. And I'm bound to keep on riding. I got one more silver dollar, but I'm not gonna let them catch me, no. Not gonna let them catch the midnight rider.
Yeah. My heart's not. It's still not there.
Sports Radio.
It's gonna take a while. Monica here with you on The Fan. 5 hour midnight ride all the way to 5 a.m. in the warm-up show. Rami on the other side. 888-808-1019 on this Halloween night. But now I know. November 1st, already in November.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Before you know it, week 9 in the NFL happens so fast. Before you know it, you call them the turkey.
It goes by so fast and the streets are crazy. I just got here. Warm weather, giving, you know, women opportunity to wear half nothing on Halloween. That's everybody's favorite tradition. And how about the Jets, who decided to wear a Halloween costume of an actual NFL football team in the second half of this game? Who knew? Who knew? The New York Jets, now 3-6, they snap their five-game losing streak. They get on the board. Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson, finally. And that's really, like, we know all of the things that were supposed to happen with this team. Of all of the positives, all the things that Aaron Rodgers was supposed to uplift when he came to the New York Jets. So many of them have been failures. So many. And for me, without question, the number one, and it builds into so much of just the overall offense, but the number one failure that shocked me, as much as you could be shocked at a 2-6 Jet team with all this talent, of all the different areas that could shock you as how miserable the Jets have been, the number one for me was the relationship between Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. And the idea that it wasn't just unsuccessful. It looked like something was weighing over it that was, they weren't on the same page. Wilson didn't seem to have the same step, get the same separation. It just felt like he was regressing with Aaron Rodgers for so much of the early part of this season. For so much. And it was like, what did we see that he was able to show us glimpses and make us feel like this is a number one wide receiver with Zach Wilson? And yet, of all the talk and how much, you know, Rodgers is praising him and they're talking about the idea of he could be the next number 17, who obviously is now playing with him, I just never understood how. In fact, I didn't want the talk of getting Davante Adams has been going on for a long time, and I didn't want it because I wanted to see this relationship blossom. And I was afraid that maybe a working relationship and bringing Davante Adams here and the comfortability of Rodgers to Adams would overshadow or hinder the ability of this young, talented, superstar wide receiver to rise up and become the great player we all felt he could be. And maybe it took him to come, maybe it took Davante Adams to come here, or whatever the case may be, but this relationship is now blossoming. They're getting on the same page. Two touchdowns in this game, and one of the great catches you'll ever see. Just one of the great catches you'll ever see. A one-handed leaping grab off a play, and we'll get to it. A play that I thought was a mistake. I didn't want to go to the end zone. I wanted to pick up 10 yards or so to make an easier field goal kick. I didn't want to take the shot at the end zone and leave a long kick for a kicker who had missed an extra point already and that you have no faith in this Jet kicking game. But Aaron Rodgers showed faith on a 1-1 circumstance to go down the field, and Garrett Wilson makes an incredible play. But this team and this offense, if we go back to the beginning of the game, looked like more of the same. The first half was just, I mean, hard to explain how bad. The first play of the game, Aaron Rodgers has an opportunity to hit Devontae Adams for a big play, and he throws it out of bounds. Like, he didn't even give Adams a chance to make a play. Didn't even give him a chance. And it was just, it was worse from there. And then, obviously, Malachi Corley, who drops the touchdown before he crosses the goal line. I mean, it just felt like this Jet team is absolutely cursed. They're cursed by bad coaching. They're cursed by stupidity. They're cursed by the inability to get it going. Aaron Rodgers is falling apart. Devontae Adams can't get it done. Breece Hall has regressed. Garrett Wilson has regressed. This team is just falling apart around us. And going up against the Texans team that, you know, we know are very good and now are 6-3 on the year and have C.J. Stroud, a young, burgeoning superstar quarterback in the league, but they're down. They're down, Nico Collins. They're down, Steph Diggs. They're left with nothing but Tank Dell and a run game that's been positive, but this was a chance on a short week to bring this team into your building with your life on the line and them injured. We know the advantage home teams have on short weeks, and the first half was just gross. And I don't know what happened in the second half, but for whatever reason, this offense awoke. And Rodgers, like, on different plays, it ended up getting called back for a penalty, but he had a 15-yard run on a third down, making guys miss. Like, he looked better. Everything looked better. Once it got and clicked, you can see it's still not there just yet. And at 3-6, it feels like it's still probably too little too late. Because if you go back, if they would have won this, and that's what's really like, if they win the game against New England that they have no business losing, if they go back and win that game against Denver, you're talking about a season that's alive, and maybe you're feeling right now, hey, we just took on the Texans. I know they're down some injuries, but hey, now we've got two wins in a row, 5-4. Season alive, offense still struggling, but starting to click in the second half of this game, and the relationship between Wilson and Rodgers blossoming. Devontae Adams comes back after what you thought could have been a concussion, gets checked for concussion, comes back, gets the game-winning touchdown. And maybe this season would be in a different place than where you feel it is right now, which is probably too little too late. And we could talk about, and I heard them talking about it on the broadcast, all the different teams that are under 500 or right around 500 that they play the rest of the year. You're going to have to see it before you believe it, but in this game, they did things for the first time. And then, like, you get the ridiculous penalty on an opportunity to bring the game. They score the touchdown to Wilson. The defense immediately, like, that's what's still frustrating about this team now. They made the plays to win this game 21-13. But they go down, they score a touchdown, and put themselves up 14-7 or 14-10. And immediately, the defense gives up a big play. They let Tank Dell get behind them and give up a big play on second down. It's just like, this defense, Rodgers goes in there, sticks it in, makes an unbelievable play. Wilson makes an incredible catch, one-handed. We'll go through it throughout the morning. One-handed, 1 foot down, shin before the knee, which is almost impossible. Like, I have a shin, and I have a knee. In fact, I have two of them. And I know that they work congruently. And I'm not sure if you offered me $1 million, I could figure out a way to fall and have my shin hit before my knee. I'm not sure I could do it. Like, honestly, I don't even know if I could figure out a way to have my shin inbounds before my knee falls out of bounds. But somehow Wilson did. And they make that play off a long third down, where, in my mind, again, I think it's a mistake throwing to the end zone. I want to set up an easier field goal. And they make that great play, and this defense that had a decent night, the defensive line played well, but they give up that moonshot right away. But then they hold, they force a long field goal, and this is where, right, these are one of the circumstances that typically kill a Jet game. Kill a Jet game, kill a Jet season, which this loss would have officially, if not already officially ended. And, as much as I'm excited about this win, And as much as the offense did click and they did beat a good football team here, even with injuries, you never know in the NFL. But this loss would have stamped it as officially dead. And that's what they're fighting against here. And under those circumstances, when you get the penalty from the rookie, well, what's his name? I was driving in the car. I just want to make sure I get it right. No, the penalty on the, doesn't matter. They get a penalty on a field goal kick where you could see him jump and drive his knee right into the center. They force, after a sack on third down, they get a 15-yard loss, setting up a long field goal. The field goal's good. Jets still have a one-point lead with an opportunity for the offense to come back on the field, have a long drive, and seal the deal. And instead, you get a personal foul, 15-yard penalty, automatic first down, half the distance to the goal on putting your knee in the face of the center when you know you can't touch the center on field goals. Having that play happen, that's a game. That's it. The New York Jets lose that football game forever. Forever. The New York Jets lose that football game. They're dropping touchdowns in the first half. They are literally dropping the ball before they score for a touchback in the first half of this game. And I don't know what magic worked on this Halloween night in New York City or New Jersey. But somehow in the first half, they can't complete a wide open play to Davante Adams on the first play of the game that would have resulted in a big play, if not a touchdown. Second play is a drop from Breece Hall. Later in the game, they're literally dropping touchdowns before they run into the end zone. And then in the second half, they get miraculous catches. They get shins down before knees. And then they get the worst penalty you could possibly imagine and give C.J. Stroud an opportunity, the 12-yard line, to stick it in the end zone. And I'm telling you, that would have killed this team. That would have ended this game. They had a one-point lead after forcing a long field goal. He makes it. One-point lead. Offense back on the field. Go kill 4 minutes and win this football game. Instead, they get a disastrous penalty that leads to another opportunity to score. And if that ball goes in the end zone and they fall down a touchdown, this game is, they fall down 4 points, whatever it would have been. They would have, that offense would have never risen off the deck and won that football game. Instead, the defense holds, forces a field goal, and they miss it, doink off the left field goal post. I mean, that is, the Jets were blessed this evening, and the Jets are never blessed. And then Aaron Rodgers in this offense, in that drive at the end of the game to go seal the deal, looked like Aaron Rodgers in an NFL offense. It did. It looked like Aaron Rodgers in an NFL offense. They made big calls, big decisions on third down to, instead of go the rote way of handing the ball off and forcing timeouts and, you know, third and three. Oh, no, let's roll them out and hit the tight end on the run. Third down, end of the game, or end of the drive. You don't run, you don't stop. Boom! Touchdown to Davante Adams to seal this thing. Aggressive calls. Aaron Rodgers moving much better in this game. All of the things you needed, right? You needed better play calling. You've gotten it here. I thought they really did a nice job with the offensive game plan in the second half after a disastrous first. You needed Aaron Rodgers to show a pulse. And after missing a touchdown throw, possibly, on the first throw of the game, atrocious throw. Didn't even give his wide receiver a chance. Doesn't give Adams a chance, let alone hit him while he's open. Throws it out of bounds. Next play is a drop ball from Hall. And away we go with the entire first half. And instead, in the second half, he shows up. I know it's called back for a penalty, but he's running for 15 yards down to the goal line for a first down. He's making the big throws, puts the ball right in the bucket for the Davante Adams touchdown, gives his wide receiver a chance on third long and shows trust and faith in the superstar young wide receiver to go up there and make an incredible catch. And with the game on the line, the defense held, and with the game on the line to go out there and seal it, the New York Jets, Aaron Rodgers, go down the field, look like an NFL offense, make bold excellent play calls that secure first downs and touchdowns to ice this game against the Houston Texans, 21-13, and the season's alive. It's alive. It's on life support. They're heading, you know, out to Arizona with an opportunity to win a game. Like, and if you look at the rest of the schedule, let's be fair. And I understand, hey, we all thought the part of the schedule that was, you know, Denver, Minnesota. I know that's kind of flipped now with how good Minnesota's been. But starting the year, it was like, oh, look, Den, you got Tennessee, New England, Denver, Minnesota. That's four straight wins before you head to Buffalo. And obviously, that loss in Denver is a disaster. The loss out in London to Minnesota leads to the ending of your head coach. Buffalo is a game you had an opportunity to win, you don't. You get kind of beaten up in Pittsburgh. The offense continues to look terrible. And then you lose the game in what has been the low point of all low points. And they got off the deck and won a game against Houston. And now you look at, as much as that schedule you thought you'd make a lot more hay, if you're being fair, Arizona is the most up-and-down team in the NFL. Like, arguably one of the most up-and-down. You don't know what you're going to get week to week. Lose to a bad team, compete with a good team, blow a game late, rally late. Like, they're all over the place. You got the Indianapolis Colts, whose quarterback is completing, what, 40% of his passes. You got a Seattle team that hasn't had the season they had hoped. And then you get Tua at Miami. Jacksonville is in a, you know, a very good team right now. They're pretty awful. The Rams are starting to play better and getting healthy, but they're looking to trade Cup. Like, this thing over the next few weeks, the Jets have an opportunity to get back into this season. I don't know if I expect it. I don't know if this game shows me enough to really feel like I'm real positive about it, but it starts with one step. And after a miserable first half of ugly, ugly football, the same type of football we have seen from the Jets over the last 5 weeks, in the second half, Aaron Rodgers and the Jets offense showed up. Plain and simple. Aaron Rodgers and the Jets offense showed up. The defense made stops when they had to. They overcame a terrible penalty. Garrett Wilson is showing he can be a superstar and makes one of the great catches of the year. I think I would still slow my roll before we start comparing it to Odell Beckham's one-handed catch. I don't think it was that good just because of the nature of how Odell had to extend and reach back. This ball was kind of in front of him, but still, whatever. An incredible catch. It's more about getting his feet down than making the one-handed grab for me. That's what's incredible about it. But still, an incredible catch. They're getting together. How many weeks now of 100-yard receiving yards for Wilson? Two touchdowns in this game. And the offense, when needed to be called upon to go ice it, they went down the field and put the ball in the end zone. Didn't just get the ice. Didn't just force the timeouts. Didn't just give the defense an opportunity to hold and make them give them the feel. Like, went out there and won the freaking football game and put it on ice and put it right in the end zone. And for the first time in the last 5 weeks, New York Jet fans can at least smile a little bit with a Thursday performance against a good quality football team. I don't care the injuries. I understand that. A good quality football team with a young superstar quarterback. And they went out there, played like crap for a half, and then came out and looked like what, this much, like a resemblance of what we had hoped this Jet team could have looked like all year long. So the Jets get a win. A big one, a lot to take out of it. Still some negatives, obviously, in the first half. Still too many penalties. Still a killer penalty at the end of the half, at the end of the game, or at least the middle of the fourth quarter that absolutely could have sunk them. Eric Watts makes a ridiculous, terrible penalty that almost cost the team the game, but it didn't. And it actually benefited them. And that never happens to the Jets, ever. When is the last time the New York Jets had a devastating penalty? Devastating. Where they're about to get the ball back with a one-point lead. They make them force for the field goal after the big play to Tank Dell. They make him kick a 44-yard field goal. He makes it. They got an opportunity to get the offense right back on the field after a touchdown drive to go out there and seal a one-point victory with, I don't know, 6-5 minutes left. And instead, a personal foul penalty on kneeing the center in the face on the field goal. They get the ball back, half the distance to the goal, put him at the 12-yard line,
And instead, that benefits him. And even if they force the kick, even if he makes the field goal again, you can argue it benefits him and knocks some time off the clock. But he misses the kick. The Jets benefited on a 15-yard, then half the distance to the goal or something like that. I was in the car. Half the distance to the goal line after the 15-yard penalty or whatever it was. And took away a chance to go seal the deal. It felt like a killer penalty at the moment. And not only did it not hurt them, it benefited them. When is the last time that's happened? You know something. You know something's in the air when that happens. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Jets with a win. We'll still obviously talk about the Yankees. I'm still very sad. It's very hard. I have to admit. I was out there trick-or-treating my sons today, and I'll get to this and what their Halloween costume was. But food doesn't taste as good. Water doesn't quench the thirst. Like, I am absolutely sick to my stomach moment to moment. I'm not kidding. This is one of the tougher losses I've ever experienced in my life. The way that they just self-destructed in that inning is still something that it's weighing on me on a moment-to-moment basis. Like, I don't even remember the 0-4 Red Sox game weighing on me. I don't remember 0-1 weighing on me like this. Like, I literally am sick all day long because of what happened the other night. So we'll get to it. We'll get to Juan Soto's future. I know everybody wants to talk about Juan Soto's future and the way he answered questions, because we're all experts on people's body language and tone. We know exactly what they mean and exactly how they mean it every time they speak. We're all experts. We'll get to that. Get to Aaron Judge. We'll get to Aaron Boone. So we'll do a lot of Yankee talk, but we start with the New York Jets, who actually showed a pulse, an offense that actually showed a pulse, a relationship between Wilson and Aaron Rodgers that seems to be blossoming, and an offense that went out there and won the game for them in the second half against a damn good football team. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Quick break. Come back with your phone calls. And we got full five-hour midnight ride. Plenty of time to get to all the topics we want to discuss. McMonagle here with you in the overnights all the way to 5 a.m. We'll be right back.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Busy roads, big trucks, bigger risks. Don't face it alone. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 12:29. I'm getting heated already about the freaking Yankees. I can't take it. We'll get to it later, but we'll get to it later. We don't want to do it now. I want to get to the Jets, but how about when a $40 million man drops a pop-up, we don't run to blame the manager? Golly. It just drives me crazy. But the Jets had a season-saving win. And me and Rami on the other side were just talking about it for a second. Like, when Devontae Adams was brought here, and I know this game in many ways is about Wilson, and I started with about Wilson. For me, that relationship needs to be the way it's been the last few weeks between him and Rodgers, and we're seeing it, and that's going to help. And that's what part of, like, when Devontae Adams was brought here, the narrative was, can he block? You know, can he you know, sack the quarterback? Can he coach? Can he still, like, he doesn't solve any of the problems. Well, I mean, yeah, he doesn't solve those particular problems, but he makes your team better. And you watch him in this offense, the big play he makes on the play he gets hurt, the touchdown at the end of this game, the relationship that he's brought in here, and hopefully you could see Garrett Wilson has got an extra pep in his step since Devontae Adams has been here. Devontae Adams helps this team. And while they've still been losing with him, and they still had the most embarrassing loss of their season with him, you can see why on a season that they have to go out and win, that they're all in on, why bringing him in makes sense, and what he can do for this team moving forward and this offense. Because, yeah, okay, he doesn't help the defense, and the defense has been an issue in the way they, you know, have been allowing the run and the big play and the breakdown in big moments and allowing –
the Jacoby Brissetts of the world to go right down the field and beat them? Like, yes, yes. And the head coach is lost. Firing Robert Saleh was a complete mistake. And everything else. But the idea that just because Devontae Adams doesn't fix the exact issues beating them on a day, you know, on every single play of every single game, it doesn't mean that he's not going to uplift them in many ways. And hey, if the offense can score points, the defense doesn't have to be as good. And I know it's only 21, it's not 30 or 35, with, you know, the number that Rodgers talks about this offense should be able to score every week. He made big plays in this game. He made big plays in this game. He gets a huge touchdown. And for at least one half, that offense looked like what we thought it could all season long. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Jeff in Oceanside, who was at the game last night. What's up, Jeff?
What's going on? Yeah, I'm just about to pull into my driveway.
Oh, so. Nice.
Yeah, so it was excellent day, excellent game. In a sick, demented way, that penalty was the best thing to ever happen
to
him.
How crazy is that?
And I'm at the game with my cousin and a couple of his friends, and we're going crazy thinking that, you know, typical same old Jets, only the Jets. Only the Jets could rub the center. Only the Jets could drop a ball at the one-inch line.
Yep.
But yet, they pulled it out. So who the hell knows? Maybe this is the start of a miracle run. Maybe Grimace was at the game tonight. So who knows what's going to happen. So I just want to say, J-E-T-S, Jets, I'm all pumped up. I'm all pumped up the Yankees lost. And I think it's a great night. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're a jerk. You had me up until the end, Jeff. I hope you trip in your driveway. No, I'm just kidding. Be safe. Yeah, listen, could it be the start of a miracle run? I don't know. Right now, after the win in this game, and obviously everybody else in the NFL still has to play, but they are now 10th in the conference at 3-6. Dolphins 2-5, Cleveland 2-6. The Raiders have 2 wins, Jacksonville 2 wins. New England 2 wins, Tennessee 1 win. They're still looking up at, you know, a lot of teams that are better than they are, but, or at least that have played better than they are so far. I don't know about more talented, but have played better than they are so far. I don't think you could think miracle run just yet. If you want to, why not? But I'm just saying, like, let's just start with, you have a winnable game against Arizona coming up. Let's just go there. You got an extra couple days to get ready for it, and game plan to stop Murray, figure out a way to attack this Arizona team. This is a winnable game, a winnable, winnable game against the Cardinals. Start there. I'm not so focused on miracle runs just yet. Get to 4-6. Get to 4-6. I mean, they're 3-6 right now. We're talking miracle runs. Let's just talk that we can hold off the funeral for 10 days. Like, that's really what it's about. It's holding off the funeral. Get to 4-6 against a winnable team in Arizona, and then you'll talk. And then you get ready for, what is it, the Colts next? They can go out there and beat the Colts too. Then you get to 5-6. They absolutely have a chance to make such a miracle run. They're talented enough. And if things click, they can. And we've seen Rodgers, whether it's the relaxed season, whether it's even his last season in Green Bay. People forget that, and I know it ultimately came up short. But they started off miserable. They lost to the Giants in London. They were terrible. And then they went on a run. Obviously, yes, lost to the Jets and Zach Wilson. But they went on a run. And I'm telling you, I remember the last week of the season. And all they had to do was beat Detroit in their building and they would have went into the playoffs. And the talk all over, and the entire talk of the NFL, was the last team anybody's going to want to see make the playoffs right now is the Green Bay Packers. They were on a roll. They were on a run. They were playing well. It's not impossible. We've seen Rodgers do it. We've seen other teams do it. And the Jets certainly are talented enough. But they're also 3-6. They've lost twice as many as they've won. They're coming off a 5-game losing streak, and in this game alone, they were awful for a half of football. So let's pump the brakes on Miracle Run. Let's be pleased that the second half and pleased that they didn't kill the season and that it's on life support heading to Arizona in 10 days. Sammy in Long Island. What's up, Sammy?
Hey, what's going on? I'm coming home from the game.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, when I first got to the game, I was watching the first half, and I'm a Yankees Jets guy. I'm already depressed from yesterday. Watched this first half, and I'm thinking it's the same old Jets, you know? Mm-hmm. Malachi Corley fumbles it. Not even the 1 yard line, the 0.1,
no,
the 0.1 yard line.
You can't. It's. You know, it's funny, too, because we've seen it before. You could make, like, a highlight reel that would last about 10 minutes of guys dropping the ball right before the end zone. It typically happens more in college, but it's – I don't understand it. Why do you want to get rid of the ball? Run through the end zone and throw it into the stands. Why – or spike it. Why are you dropping it the second you think you've touched the goal line? It's puzzling. That is a killer play.
You know what? It's soul-sucking. Also, as a – hungry rookie trying to get your first touchdown of your career, to do that is unacceptable. And then CJ Stroud and the Texans come out. Joe Mixon absolutely tramples us on that one drive.
Yep.
Gets that easy touchdown. We're down 7-0. It's not looking too good. The crowd is chanting, sell the team.
Yeah.
And it's not looking too good. But you know what? I didn't lose faith. And we come out that second half, you know, and we kept the same. Brees is still the same old Brees. He's just electric, always electric. I love Brees Lightning. You know, Garrett Wilson's coming out making great catches. When Devontae comes down from that scary concussion, the concussion scare, Garrett Wilson had to step up, and he made some great catches. Of course, he made that exceptional OBJ-like catch, which really sparked the team. And then finally after that, Devontae breaks through, gets his first touchdown as a Jet. And things are finally looking good. But also, you know, this win is not a division rival. I understand we're still 3-6. You have to give it to them. This gives them confidence. Like you said, we got a beatable Arizona next week. Mm-hmm. We got the Colts the week after who are arguably even more in shambles than we are with the whole Anthony Richardson scenario.
Right.
Okay, and then we rest up for the bye when Geno makes his MetLife return against his former team, which I think could be beatable.
Oh,
and
definitely.
You know what? I don't want to talk about miracle runs, but I am a delusional Jets fan.
Why not?
Aaron Rodgers is going to make it happen, baby. Come on.
There you go, Sammy. Listen, why not, right? Why not get excited about it? The promise is still there. Like, I don't know about the head coach, obviously. I thought the offensive game plan and the play calling in the second half was good, was bold, was good in those drives. Rodgers looked better to me. That run alone on third down, that ends up getting called back for a penalty, which is a killer, a hold on Fashanu. But he looked more mobile, and his throws got more accurate as the game went on. And they are talented enough. There is no doubt in my mind. I don't want to play the old Mike and the Mad Dog win-loss game. But I'm just saying, like, and especially when they lost to New England and Denver. And now, you know, Denver's playing better. And they're already a half a game away from their over. Ka-ching. But, you know, Arizona's a winnable game. Indianapolis is a winnable game. Seattle is a winnable game. Miami is a winnable game. Jacksonville is a winnable game. The Rams are a winnable game. Buffalo is pretty damn good. And then you end with Miami. Like, that schedule is not impossible to navigate at all. At all. You just can't have another slip up. But, again, that's too many variables and too far down the line to even consider at 3-6. You want to have some fun? You want to? That's fine. Have some fun and dream. But the fact of the matter is, like, get your head out of the clouds because real football is being played next week, and the Jets have an opportunity to win this game against Arizona. Start there. Put two wins together. Go play well on the road with 10 days off to go plan for it against one of the more up-and-down teams in the NFL with a quarterback who, if you watch this game and Stroud and some of the long runs he was able to get, you know, Murray will run the ball right down your throat. So they've got a couple things to go make sure that the Cardinals don't beat them with, but that's a winnable game, even on the road. So I've said it all year. I've been a proponent of this team and talked about the talent of this team. I've been all on board with the Jets. I think they've done exactly what they should have done up until,
you know, you could have moved on from the coach. The Salah situation sucks. All right, I'll give it that. But bringing in Rodgers, even giving him some of the players he wanted, like, I think the Jets did a lot of what they should have done. And it just hasn't worked. But are they talented enough where it clicks, they could go on a run? Absolutely. I don't think anybody doubts that. This is a team that was picked to go, and not just by me and us here in New York. This is a team that was picked to go and be a threat in the AFC. This is a team that was picked to be a Super Bowl caliber team, one of the five or six teams capable of winning a Super Bowl. So could they go on a run against Arizona, Indianapolis, Seattle, Miami, Jacksonville, Rams? Yeah, bet your ass they could. And hopefully it started last night. Rob in Long Island, what's up, Rob?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you, buddy?
Well, just went through a Halloween, and that first half was scary.
Yeah.
But, you know... when you have Aaron Rodgers...
Woo! You got me there. You got me good. Hit me deep.
When you have Aaron Rodgers,
yeah.
And look, I'm not delusional, but you know what he was able to do with the Packers is two things.
Yeah,
he establishes continuity, and he does the back shoulder throws. He does the get him off sides.
Yes,
and get the ball down the field.
Yes,
he does things that most other quarterbacks can't do.
Correct.
And we haven't seen a lot of that yet, but, you know, what it takes to be a believer in the guy is he gets on a couple of game rolls, the defense starts stepping up, and things, you know, they come together. What's this funny like that? And he's been talking about that.
Yeah.
We just need to get in a rhythm. You know, look, a couple weeks ago, I saw him miss some receivers, trying to do the back shoulder. It wasn't there.
Right.
The rhythm wasn't there. He hasn't been with this team that long, and he was hurt.
No, I mean, I think that's all fair. And to be honest with you, a lot of the things you just said were some of the more disappointing aspects of this team because I believed those would translate, like, almost immediately. Like, a lot of those things, like, I remember talking last year when they had so many pre-snap penalties. And I was like, I'm telling you, the minute Aaron Rodgers is under center, I don't care who the coach is. Like, because that was, you know, oh, the pre-snap penalties, they're so poorly coached, right? Which is, apparently they go hand in hand. I think that's probably a bit overblown, but they go hand in hand. But whatever the case may be, I was like, I promise you, Aaron Rodgers under center, you are not going to get pre-snap penalties. It is not. Because that's where he's lived and thrived. And you mentioned things he does that others don't do. Like his ability to manipulate the cadence, his ability to draw off sides, his ability to get 12 men on the field by catching teams in bad substitutions, knowing exactly what to do on free plays. Like that's his strength. That's his bread and butter. That's what he's been living on. And they have been fair, not just it's not quite there. They have more delay of game penalties than I could have ever thought they would have had all year, five games in. They are so slow getting to the line, getting the play in, and he seems oblivious of the clock at times. Like Aaron Rodgers at the line of scrimmage is deadly, and it's killed the Jets. It's made no sense. It's made no sense. It's made no sense to me at all. So if they could clean that up, and you saw early parts of this game, there's the one play, I don't know if it was the first drive or the second drive where he throws it to Davante Adams and he's blocking, and it's just like, what the hell? Like, what is going on? Davante Adams doesn't even know the ball is coming. And we're talking about, well, it's you know, the broadcast goes into, well, he's only been here for a few weeks, you know, when Al decides to actually speak, I don't know. And it's like, man, why can't they get this together? These are the things I thought would be for sure gone. Delay of games would be a thing of the past. Offsides, thing of the past. Aaron Rodgers at the line of scrimmage is going to kill the other team, not kill themselves. So if that can go away just right there and you can start to build on just having some continuity and build on relationships between the receivers and Aaron Rodgers, which has been another disaster. You're right. He's never had, Devontae Adams wasn't a first-round pick. He's never had a first-round pick in Green Bay, an offensive weapon. Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, whomever else. Like, he's made it work because they build a relationship and he's built them into great players. I'm not saying Devontae Adams doesn't have great ability and wouldn't be great elsewhere, but like part of it is that he grew up with Aaron Rodgers and they know each other, and you were hoping him and Wilson could have that relationship where all of a sudden quick back shoulder throw on 3rd and 7 when you need it, and you know, it's there consistently, and that's just not been the case. And again, this is a great second half, and now you've stacked together a couple games of Wilson playing well with him. But there's a long way to go to feeling really good about that. But if they ever get there, I do think this team can be dangerous, because how could I mean, I've been thinking that since the minute he got here. It's just we haven't seen it. And you started to doubt you ever would. And I'm still not ready to tell you we're going to see it next week and the week after that and the week after that. I don't know. But if they do, name me a team on the schedule they can't beat. There isn't one. Andrew Manhattan. What's up, Andrew?
What's up? How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Big, big, big win. And not to get, like you said, too carried away too quick, but two questions for you. One, what do you think it's going to take to get in the playoffs? What do you think the record's going to be for the last wild card spot? And then, talk sidebar, a couple of months ago, I recommended that cooler. I was wondering if you ever bought it and went to Disney.
I forget the name of it. I bought the, man.
Torrid.
Yes, that's the one I bought. Yes, it was like $40 backpack cooler.
Exactly.
Yes, it was great. It worked absolutely fine. It was terrific. We went to Disney with it. I had it with me everywhere we went. It was great. Loaded it every morning. Perfect. Used Ziploc bags and filled the Ziploc bags with ice and used them as kind of ice packs instead of just putting like loose ice in there in the backpack. But it was great. So thank you for the recommendation.
Of course.
What do I think it's going to take to make the playoffs in the AFC right now? The Chargers are right there in the 7th spot, 4-3. I mean, I think 10 does it. I think 10 wins probably does it. And I think that's probably what you're shooting for. You're shooting for 10 wins. So, I mean, they're already at 6. You got one more loss. That's it. You're afforded one more loss. Is it possible 9 gets you in? Is it possible going 9-8 gets the deal done? It's not impossible. That's the bare minimum. I would think you have to get 10 wins. That's what I would be shooting for. That's what I'd be saying to the team. Not maybe today. Today I'm still focused on just beating Arizona. But like, if this thing does start to build momentum, then you start talking 10 wins. Get 10 wins. 10 wins. Right now it's run the table. I mean, let's be honest. That's probably what you're telling the team. But if they can figure out a way to only lose one game the rest of the year, I think they'll probably be in. But, I mean, that's not easy. And it started last night. And again, they were awful in the first half. Not bad. Awful. The offense was atrocious. They made dumb plays. They gave away a touchdown. Aaron Rodgers looked bad in the first two drives. Like, it was better in the second half, and they beat a very good Texans team, missing their two top wide receiver threats. So, that's not a death knell to a team. They could have still come out and beat the Jets. I'm not saying that. That's a good, solid victory. And they played great in the second half. The defense made the stops when they needed. The offense went and took the ball down the field and put it in the end zone when they needed. 21 points in the second half. That's a great job. You got a great catch from Wilson. There's a lot to build on in the second half of that football game. But they have to go win 7 more times in the next 8 weeks. That's not going to be easy. Ryan in North Babylon. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
Long-time Jets fan. Didn't watch the game that much tonight. Watched a lot of the second half. I was working the first half.
Oh, okay.
But
I was going to say, you just like boycotting them because how bad they are? Did something work? Oh, no. So pretty much you had interest in watching?
Pretty much.
Yeah. All right.
After the Patriots game, I just
No, listen, that was, there's no doubt, there's no sugarcoating what that was. That is, that loss is about as much a low point as you can imagine over in the history of the franchise, let alone the Rodgers era. Yeah, that could be the worst Jet loss in a long, long time. No doubt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm only 26, but for me, that was my worst loss that I've ever seen.
I'm right there with you. It's probably the worst in the last 26 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, that second half was incredible. So, like, I know what this team could be. So it's just so frustrating to see them lose all these games. I mean, you can blame it on the kicker all these games, and yes, he's been awful.
Yeah.
But they put themselves in these horrible positions.
No doubt.
You know, all the penalties, the fumbles, the interceptions, it's just time after time they just blow it.
Yep.
And I have no reason to believe in this team the rest of the season. I mean, they might go 500, they might win more games than they lose, but I don't see this team making playoffs. I mean, they can't go on a run.
I think you're fair. I think that is a fair take. They haven't shown you anything yet. They played a good second half. They haven't shown you anything yet that would indicate to have full faith in them that they would win next week, let alone go on some run. I think that's totally fair. I think it's fair to dream on some level. It's also fair to say this team is stunk. They stunk in the first half. They played one good half of football against a depleted Texans team, and now I'm supposed to believe they can put together an 8-1 run? You're well within your bounds to question this team. They still have to show up and do it. They still had penalties in this game. They still had big mistakes in this game. You still saw a lot of the things you can't stand about this team in this game. But they did win. And anytime, winning breeds excitement. And this team right now, I mean, they're still going. Like, to me, Giants winning this week would be a disaster. And I know I'm different than most Giant fans. I have no interest in winning this game. At least the Jets have Aaron Rodgers and a talented roster. I don't know what the Giants have. I don't know how much excitement I can still. Every article is about how nice Drew Phillips has played. Great. That's the excitement of the New York Giants. Yossi and Passaic, what's up?
Yeah, hey there. I just wanted to make a quick point. The catch from Gatto Wilson today.
Yep. Incredible.
I think it's a greater catch than OBJ's catch.
Yeah,
I think it's a greater catch.
Yeah, I don't think so. But it's nice of you to say so. Listen, it's a great catch. I still think the OBJ catch is better just because of the nature of he has to fall backwards and reach his hand out. It's much more of an extension. The thing about this play, and I said this before, the thing about this, it's not even the catch. It's the getting his feet down is what's rather impressive. OBJ just falls into the end zone. So he doesn't have to worry about where his feet are going to land. He doesn't have to worry about staying in bounds. He just has to, I think the actual catch is more difficult. We bring in, without question, hauling in the ball, to me, is without question more difficult for Odell Beckham. I don't think that's, if a Jet fan wants to argue with me, that one I disagree with. Just the sheer making the catch, bringing it in, controlling it to your body, Odell Beckham's catch is far more difficult. But having to get 1 foot down and then a shin before the knee in this catch is what starts to rival the entire play as a catch. I still think Odell Beckham's catch is better. And I hate to say this too. I don't want to be a jerk, and I certainly don't care. I've been supportive of the Jets this whole time. I'm rooting for the Jets hard. I think it's a bit fluky that his shin landed first. It's not like he intentionally was like, "Yeah, I'm gonna get my shin down." Like it's just like it happened, and he knows he's trying to keep his feet in. He did an incredible job, but yeah, I don't think it rivals Odell Beckham Jr. I think Odell Beckham Jr.'s catch is better.
Al Michaels on the call for both, though.
That's true. Al Michaels on the call for both. I would say, you think this one rivals it?
I do. I think the back of the end zone, he's being almost shoved even before he catches the ball.
Yeah.
The only thing
Odell Beckham was there was a penalty
on it. I know
there
was a PI, but
I mean he was being fouled while making the catch.
But he gets upright before. I don't know. This one rivals it, but the back of the end zone you have so little space because to focus on catching it with one hand, knowing you have that little space and the body control to get down, is just crazy. So
it
is. Maybe the actual hand skill is not the same level.
Agreed. I think we should all.
The overall
I think
catch,
Jet fans, if you really do have the opinion that the overall catch is better, you would have to at least give. That the actual making of the physical catch, wherever they're standing, bringing the ball in, is much more difficult for Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
It's
also, Garrett gets a second hand on it, which Odell never did.
Right. And it's the body control and staying in bounds, back of the end zone.
That part of it is unreal.
That's what starts to make it as good a catch if you really wanted to consider it. And what makes it, whether it's Odell Beckham, as good as that one or not, it's an incredible catch.
Yeah, like if I tried to
It's the
do
catch
that.
Of the year that I've seen so far. I'm trying to think of any other. It's the catch of the year by
easily.
Far.
It's better than last year's catch of the year, which was probably the, you know, when Justin Jefferson goes over the Bills defender, right?
It's better than those. Yeah.
It's as good as a catch we've seen in a few years.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible. It's as incredible a catch as we've seen. And I heard in the postgame, Ulbrich say this. He's like, I told the refs, you have to call that a touchdown because... Like, you want to ruin that play? He's like,
they could have thrown a PI there, too, by the way.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back. Tom, I know you've been holding on. We'll get to the Yankees this hour coming up. We'll still take your Jet calls. Very impressive win. Second half was what you hope to see from this team. Really, it's the Patriots on and both Thursday night. For whatever reason, this team shows up on Thursday night. They had the great win against the Patriots on Thursday night at the beginning of the season. And I shouldn't say great win because you're supposed to beat them, but they played really well in that game. And now they have a second half where they score 21 points and outclass C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans and come from behind 7-0 at the halftime and find a way to win, make an incredible catch, make the defensive stand, go down the field. Positive win for the Jets. A season saver, at least for a week, before they head down to out to Arizona on next Sunday. But a huge win for the Jets. But we will start to do more on the Yankees. Still, there is a cloud hanging over all of us. We'll still need therapy on it. We could take your calls on it, break down all the things that happened. If you still want to do that, we're only a day removed. And start to look forward. What should they do? Gleyber Torres decision. Obviously, the free agency of Juan Soto. How much are you willing to pay? Are there ways to build the team if Juan Soto leaves? Will Steinbrenner, after what you're hearing already about the numbers skyrocketing, is he going to be in this conversation? Is he going to be as aggressive to bring Juan Soto back? And some of the stuff that we're hearing about the Dodgers scouting report and how the Yankees need to change many things in the way they handle baseball operations. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break, update, come back, take your calls all the way to 5 o'clock in the morning in the warm-up show right here on The Fan.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word. It's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.